Good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. It's so good to be back in Malaysia and to see you all again. And it's awesome for me today to show my family around and to, you'll feel like family, you know. Father God, we come to you in the beautiful name of your Son, Yeshua, our Messiah. How we love you, Jesus. Beautiful Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the one that break this bread tonight. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and you touch hearts tonight. That you reach further than we can reach. Lord Jesus, it's not about us tonight. It's all about you. We want to exalt you. We want to glorify your name. It's not about Aldo. It's not about us. It's all about you. We give you the glory and we give you the honor. And I thank you, Father, that we can just be a humble servant of you. Because if there's not humbleness in one of us, you're going to pass us by, Father. Because I know that your fire will not come in the hearts of those who have pride in them. If there's any pride in us tonight, Lord Jesus, we repent of it. All of us, we repent, Father. Because we want your spirit to touch us. And we want your fire to reach us, Lord. And that's why we repent before we start of any pride. It's all about you. Be exalted in our midst. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last year when I was here, around about June I think, we went through a very difficult time in our lives. This is about nearly 7 years that we are walking this journey. That we had a motor accident and after that, we start walking the walk of faith. God said to me, the walk that you will walk is the walk of faith. You and your family will walk this. Now you all know, faith is not what you see, but it's what you hope for. And we just had, older there, he had a body, but there was nothing. Medical people had no hope for us, but God quickly taught us that hope is not in your situation, but hope is in Him. And for so many times, people get so sidetracked and that they only look at their situations and what they see around them. And in the hour that we live, that I see it around the world, that people get so negative and people get so much fear in their hearts because they look at what they see. A woman came to me the other day and says, how will I know that God loves me? Because He loves you so much. I want Him to love me as much as He loves you. I said, of course He does. She says, no, look at my situation. I said, you see, you sidetracked by what's going on in your life. This is the first thing we need to know. God wants to take us right here on earth into the promised land. And this is a little bit what I want to talk tonight about to you about the promised land. When I met God nearly 7 years ago, in South Africa, we're all Christians. You know that. We're all Christians, but you're not really Christian. Unless you're not born again, filled with the Spirit of the living God. He says, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not of Him. So the Lord started walking this journey with us. And the first couple of years, it was just faith. It was just to get Aldo out of that state of coma and Tinus took him and he exercised his physical body because we didn't give up hope because God said in the throne room to me, He said He will tell the world that Jesus is alive and He will speak and He will walk and He will do all these things. But I didn't see anything. There was just a body. They said to us, take him and put him in an institute. But we said, no, this is not what God said. So what we did, we took him home. And God started teaching us principles of faith. You all know the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, God's kingdom. And all of a sudden, we had to understand that we had to leave the kingdom of darkness and we had to move over in the kingdom of light. And to do that, you have to operate in the kingdom's principles. So we couldn't stand with one foot here and the other foot there. We quickly learned that this is not possible. And this is what the body, the church today, need to understand. That if you stand with one foot here and the other foot here, you're never going to get into the fullness of Christ. And this is what Jesus calls it. He says, the Laodicea church. And this is the church that keep on living in lukewarmness. They never get into the fullness of Christ. So we walk the journey of faith and God start teaching us how to speak life. Because the words that you proclaim, there's power in your words. There are power in your words. So whatever you speak, God use those words and something happen. But also we have learned that when you speak negative things, the enemy take those words and use those words. And because elders are sensitive for the spiritual realm, we quickly found out that there's so much more than the eye can see. So much more. So then as we walk the journey of faith, we walked. And then about 3 years back, Aldo got very sick again. He got epilepsy and nothing. It was just got worse and worse and worse. I ran to the Lord. I said, Lord Jesus, you better help me. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. So February last year, one morning, 2 o'clock, I was on my face. I said, Lord, you better help us. This is getting worse. We're going to lose him. He's going to die. You know how we fight it for his life, Lord Jesus. But I can see now the enemy's fighting to kill him. You better help us, Lord. And I was on my face and the Lord spoke to me out of the word. He says, read Jeremiah 12. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, Lord, you know what? You can tell me what's in there. I'm so tired. I'll believe every word. The Lord says, go and read it. So as I was reading, I read the following. It says, if walking amongst mere men makes you tired, how will you run with the wild horses? If you already get tired, Rita, how will you run with the wild horses? And then he explains that near the Jordan, you all need to go through the Jordan. We all need to go through the Jordan into the promised land. He says, but next to the Jordan River, there's thickness. You know, the bushes. He says, you have to go through that to go into the Jordan, to go through the Jordan to enter into the promised land. He says, but in those thickness near the Jordan, there's a foreign army that you need to fight. He says, how will you, if you can't even walk with a footmen, and you're already tired and complaining, how will you run with the wild horses? Because this is what I expect of you. Because I'm sure you know that you are born to run with the wild horses. And you are born to roar with the lions. And we are born to fly with the wild eagles. And we are born as sons and daughters of Zion. And this is why, if we are not ready for what is waiting, this foreign army will kill us. Because lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Because we are not ready. And I see around the world how the body of Christ for a long time did not know the truth. And I was one of them. I was one of them. I was caught by surprise, I have to say. Because many a time you think you're a Christian and nothing can come close to you. And that is true. If you did what the Word of God said. So the Lord said that night to me. He spoke to me. He says, Rieta, I want you tonight to choose. I hold before you, he said, I hold before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose. And then he said to me, choose. Are you going to be a show horse? Or are you going to run with the wild horses? Do you know what show horses do? Show horses stand in lines. And they look what the other do. And they do exactly the same. Did you see? You know how they do it. And they stand in queues and lines. And what did the Lord say to you? And what did he say to you? And to you? And somebody would say, I just finished a 40-day fast. And you? And that everybody wants to impress everybody. God says no. I called you to be a wild horse. To be led by the Spirit of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God is called sons of God. And this is the hour where God raises the sons. So, what the Lord said to me, He took me to the book through Aldous Penn, Wisdom Writing. He took us to the book of Nehemiah. Well, I don't know if you know, but Nehemiah is a picture of the body that does not function in the natural, but in the spirit. It's the body that function not in the natural, but in the spirit, in a higher realm. And this is what you need to understand tonight. I trust that the Holy Spirit will explain this to you. He's coming for a spirit bride. You need to operate in this realm. He's coming for a warrior bride. You need to know how to fight this foreign army. And He's coming for a servant bride. You need to know how to serve. This is the character of the bride. You can't say, you know what, Lord, I'm not called to be a warrior bride. You can't say that because this is the bride. It also represents what we should become when we function in this spirit and in this higher realm. So what God showed us out of the book of Nehemiah, you all know we are spirit. Your spirits connect to God, who is spirit. And the word of God says in the book of John, now is the hour that we will worship Him in spirit and truth. Now is the hour. He says we're not going to worry about Jerusalem, about the mountains anymore. Now is the hour that we will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So my spirit is connected to God's spirit. And then I've got a soul. And this is where my emotion, my will and everything operates in. And whatever happens in my soul manifest in my flesh. Okay? Aldous' flesh didn't manifest something good. And I didn't know where to start. Because he's a man of God. So what's wrong? I said, Lord, you better help me. He says there's a foreign army that's fighting you. And then the Lord shows me so clearly in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah starts crying. He really cried because the city that God showed him, the walls of that city was totally, totally broken. He went at night, he took his horse and he went around the wall of the city in Jerusalem. And he did some inspection. And he saw that some of the stones of the city are totally broken. And he cried for the condition of the wall. And there the Lord said to me, when last did you check the walls of your city? The walls of your soul. When last did you check what's going on in your soul? Because Proverbs speaks about it. He says a city without walls is totally open for the enemy to enter. When last did you check the walls of your city? And the people come to Jeremiah and he says, why are you crying, Jeremiah? Why do you look, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, why do you cry like this? Why do you look so sad? He says, because I realize the condition of the walls. And then the Lord said to me, if my children will just start recognizing and seeing the condition of their souls, they will start crying and start praying. And then the Lord said to me, Rieta, you better start praying for my glory light to be shine so that you can see better. Jesus, won't you please put your glory light on us so that we will see what's going on in our souls? Because many a time your soul dimension is dark for you. Many people say, but I can't see what's going on in my spirit and my soul. We need the glory light of Jesus to put it on. It's like a light. And all of a sudden you will start seeing what's going on in your soul. And then Nehemiah cries out. He says, O Jehovah God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant He says, let your ear be attentive. Let your eyes be open to your prayer of your servant, which I pray before you day and night concerning the children of Israel, your servants. When last did you cry out to God like this? Have you ever done that? Like Nehemiah, where you say, Lord Jesus, I cry out to you day and night. I need you, Lord Jesus. Nehemiah cried for his people like this. He says, while I confess the sins of the children of Israel that have sinned against you, indeed, I and the house of my father have sinned. He says, God, I confess, I confess, I confess. I see how people say to me, how can you still confess? Jesus died. Why do you still confess? While Jesus himself walked on this earth and he had this ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. If you want to enter into the kingdom, he says, repent, the kingdom is at hand. I see how the enemy run if people start repenting. I see how people receive healing when they start repenting. Because it's all about the blood. So then Nehemiah starts repenting. He says, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. And the Lord starts showing Rieta through the pen, which Aldo used, and Wisdom is writing. He says, and you'd better stand in for the sins of your father's house. In South Africa, we have a lot of racism. And in our previous generations, they had a lot. We are a new generation, but still, they did it. And we start repenting, and we start repenting, and we start repenting what the house of my father did. And then the Lord starts showing me. He says, now I'm going to put the glory light on. Let's start with Aldo. Our whole family went through this, but let's start with Aldo. We're going to put the glory light on his soul dimension and on his walls of his city, and we're going to see what's going on there. Where did the enemy get right to get in and attack him with epilepsy? Because epilepsy is not from God. It's not from God. It's a demon. So Lord, where did he come in? He's a man of God. The Lord showed me three doors. The first one, he was rejected. But today he understands that he wasn't actually rejected. He felt rejected because the enemy told him, you're rejected. He wasn't rejected. Just like David, God set him apart for a time like this. And I see the bride today is also being set apart. You will feel that you don't belong where you used to belong. Don't feel rejected. Don't let the enemy tell you, you're rejected. Understand that you are set apart for a time like this. Can you see how the enemy came to steal and lie? So that door opened. The other door that opened in his life was trauma. Trauma is a big door. You don't need to go through what he did to open a trauma door. You know, to be divorced can be traumatized. Accidents, many things can open a trauma door. You need to deal with those things. The third door in his life was fear. Fear is not from God. Fear is out of the pit of hell. Because the word of God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And every day of your life, you will see the enemies walking around throwing bait of fear to you. Because he wants you to open a door for him. He wants you to do it for him. And I see nowadays he didn't even need to fight. You just open it for him. I see how he puts fear because of the economy on people. And people just open those doors. And the enemy have legal right to enter in. And as the enemy enter into your soul dimension, you will see the effects manifested in the body. I believe, I'm not saying this is not scriptural, I believe about 70 to 80% of sicknesses, it's not really sicknesses, it's demonic. Because it's manifesting in the flesh. And this is what God taught us. And he then started teaching us how to rebuild the walls of our city. And we all have city walls of your soul. And I'm just going to mention a couple of things that you can decide for yourself. Are my walls closed? Are all the doors closed in my life? The one that's opening up the most quickest is pride. Because pride is the thing that comes in so easy but gets out so difficult. Because pride is Lucifer. You know how quickly can pride come in? That is one thing in my house we keep on praying every day against. I don't even allow people to come afterwards to Aldo and tap him on the shoulder and thank him because it's not him. I don't even allow people to tap me because that is the exact thing that happened to Peter. They sat around the table and they looked at each other and they said, who's the greatest of all of us? Who is the greatest? And the disciples look at each other. They said, Peter, you know what, it's you. You're the water walker. And they all tap him. What do you think happened right there? His pride door opened. And the enemy could get in. And that was his fall. We so quickly want to take it for ourselves. It's not ours. It belonged to God. If you want to say thank you, do it tonight on your knees. And say, Lord, thank you. I always say I can't afford to take that thanks. So pride is the first. And then anything that says self. Selfish, self-seeking, self-interest. Any self, me, myself, and I, is a big door. Test that door in your life. Secret sin. The enemy can only operate in darkness. He can only operate in darkness. That is why the moment something is wrong in your life, bring it to the light. Bring the glory light of Jesus. Keep on inviting the glory light of Jesus in a situation. Just keep on bringing the glory light of Jesus in a situation and you will see how you catch the enemy. And just as he wants us to go into darkness because there he can torment us, the light torments him. Have you seen when you slept at night and in the morning somebody put the light on? What's your first reaction? It's tormenting to your eyes. This is what the glory light of Jesus is doing to the enemy. So I just keep on inviting the glory light of Jesus. Lord Jesus, check my heart. Lord Jesus, check my soul. Lord Jesus, check my motives. Lord Jesus, check my thoughts. Bring your glory light on. And then any compromise. If the enemy see your doors are closed, he will walk around that walls of your city with compromise. And compromise don't have horns and a tail. Does not. It came as an angel of light. And then the world's lust and the world's enjoyment. Because God is speaking about it. He says, this is what I have against you. That you've lost your first love. Who's the first love of your life? Test that door. You know your spirit has a door to go to Jesus, or to the throne. And that door's name is first love. If that door is not open, you will not be open to the voice of the living God. And then, of course, generational curses. If those things are not broken, it's a door that's open. Bitterness, hatred, that is legal right to the enemy to torment you. Religious spirits, if you sit in religion, it's an open door. Because it's a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. And then your mouth can be an open door. If you speak negative words, if you speak death and you don't speak life, your mouth can be an open door. This is what we need to check. So then the Lord called Nehemiah. He says, Nehemiah, I call you now. Come rebuild the walls. He says to him this words, my hand will be over you. You know, the Old Testament, they had a cloud over them by day, and at night, the fire. Today, we still have God's hand over us and His Spirit inside of us. God showed me His hands, got five fingers. And I want to tell you, what is those five fingers? The first one is His grace. Because His grace is our life supply. You know, when Elder was on life supply, God said, "My grace is your life supply." The second finger is God's anointing. This is where you have the anointing. The third finger is where His power flows out. It's all under His hand. The fourth one is His gifts. And the fifth one is His authority. But before any of this starts reigning, God needs you to have His nature. His nature. As we move under His hand, we live out of His nature. You will be the servant bride because that's His nature. You will be the warrior bride because that's His nature. And you will be the spirit bride because that's His nature. He's a spirit God. You can't come to God out of flesh. It needs to be in the spirit. So then we rebuilded the walls of our city. And after that, step by step, God restored. And the enemy had no more legal rights in our lives. And at the end of the day, all the epilepsy was gone. It's a year already. It's gone. Aldo had a shunt in his brain. That is gone. All of that is gone. Just because God took control. This is one part of where God wants us. But if we read in the book of Genesis, I want to speak to you now about this under being under this cloud. Because you will only have this authority over the enemy if you're under the cloud. If you're under His hand. If you're under the glory light. This is where you have the authority. We as Christians get many times frustrated because we say, but you know, I've tried this and I've tried that and it didn't work. But because you were not under the light. Because your walls were not closed. It's part of who God is. God spoke to Abram in Genesis already. He said to Abram, he called Abram. He says, he called him to come into ministry. He says, come. God's coming to Abram and appear to him in the light. So the moment when God came to Abram, the light came upon Abram. You see the glory light? Because God is the light. But listen what God said to Abram. He motivated him to come out of the country of satanic idolatry. This is what God is motivating us tonight. He says, finish with Babylon. You have to come out of Babylon. You can't keep on doing pagan feasts. You can't standing with one foot here and the other foot here. You have to get out of that place. Come under my glory light. Come under my hand. Come under my covering. Come under my kingdom. Come under this. This is what I have in store for you. Promised land. One with me. So Abram, God had to call him a second time. And then he came out of that country. But I want to share with you, as Abram left, there was three places. It's like a triangle. And the one at the top was the place Ur of Chaldea. And that is the place of idols. Some of us are still holding on to Ur of Chaldea, where you are serving idols. Don't think you need to be a Buddhist or something to serve idols. Your children can be your idols. 1 John 5 speaks about it. He said, children, I tell you the truth. Anything
that you love more than you love God is an idol. What will that be in your life? A woman said to me the other day, how will I know if I have an idol? Easy. Speak to me 3 minutes and I'll tell you. Because what the heart is full comes out of your mouth. God wants to be your only God, your first love. So that's Ur of Chaldea. And then at the bottom here is Egypt. And that's the worldly riches and the world's pleasures. Many people run after the world's money and the world's riches. That is not the promised land. In the promised land, you are one with Christ and you trust in Him. You trust in God as your provider. You don't look at the world. And the third one is Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of sin. You can't be in one of those three places and in the promised land at once. We need to realize the bride is a set apart bride. The bride needs to purify herself. I know this is not a message that the world wants to know. I also know that the word of God says in the last days people will speak what the ears like to be tickled with. But this is not the message what God gave me. We just came back from America and I see how people need the truth. Because only the truth will set you free. It's the fullness or it's nothing. It's the time like never before to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be one with you. I want to walk under your glory light. Aldo once wrote a letter. He says, Mom, wisdom says we need to be transparent. And just right after that, God started teaching me about the glory light. And now I understand. When you go into the glory light, you need to be transparent. Transparent. Every day, go in. Every day, ask Him. Lord Jesus, check my walls. Come with me, Holy Spirit. Let's check my walls. Because as Nehemiah was checking the walls, God teach him. He says, with this hand you must build and with this hand you had to fight. Build and fight and build and fight. And we see in the life of many of the people and children of Israel that God don't want us just to live and think tomorrow it's all going to be over. We have to keep on fight and build. And then when the wall is closed, He says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. When the glory light is on, you will be able to see. And you can watch in a distance and see what's going on. You can see this is from the enemy. This is not from God. This is not from God because you're under the glory light and you can see from afar. Watch and pray. Not just pray. We as children of God need to be in this place where we start realizing who's speaking to me. Is this the enemy or is this God? Is this the enemy or is this God? A woman said the other day to me, she says, God brought the sickness over me. I said, "Who? What God? Not my God. Definitely not my God. I'm not sure what God do you serve. People don't even know God. And maybe you don't even know God's voice. God's voice is a soft, gentle voice that will whisper in the middle, in your spirit. And it will speak from spirit to spirit. But your door needs to be open first, love, so that the voice can go through and that you can hear Him. And then when your head is on Him, on His shoulder and on His heart, you will hear God's heartbeat. You will hear God's heartbeat. God's heartbeat is the following for you and me. He has a melody for your life. His heart has four rooms. Four rooms. The first room is the room where He teaches His bride. This is what we do tonight. I learn from you. You learn from me. We learn from the Word of God through Holy Spirit. First room, He teaches His bride. Second room is where He builds relationship. He said to Abram, you need to stand in this proper place of fellowship under the cloud, under my hand, in me. You need to stay here in this proper place of fellowship. That is the place of fellowshipping, where God fellowship with you, where God wants to take you in the garden, and He wants to be your Abba Father. He wants to father you. He wants to love you. And then there's the place where you soak in Him, where we get saturated with Him, body, soul, and spirit. Lord Jesus, saturate my soul. Lord Jesus, saturate my spirit. And you stay in Him. You stay in Him. People can't stay in Christ long if there's much of me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I just want to pop out. Me, myself, and I just wants to leave. But the more you die, the more you can soak in Him. And then the last room is the room where He teaches bride to dance, to be intimate with Him. Without intimacy with Christ, you will not be able to be the bride. Because a bride and the bridegroom are in love with each other. I mean in love. You can't love someone if you don't know someone. You need to know God. You need to understand that He's one. Do you truly know Him? How many of His names do you know? How much of His character do you know? How much of His character do you have? And then there is the place where He teaches bride to dance. This is the place where He will say to you these words. I want you to surrender all, because you can't dance if you have something in your arms, in your hands. Do you agree? He says, surrender all. Surrender all. And then you take Him, and He takes you. And He holds you tight. And you put your head right here. And you will start hearing His heartbeat. And for all of us that are sitting here tonight, God Himself wrote a special melody for your life. Not one of us is going to be the same, this melody. And that is your destiny. But what I found was that in all of us, in this melody, there are two words that are exactly the same. You can be any place in the world, but these two words for your melody and mine will be the same. And it says this, trust and obey. Trust and obey. And when He dances with you, you're not going to lead. He will lead. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God is called sons of God. You will be led by the Spirit. You will not know what the next step will be. And you will not know where to go. But He will know. And you won't be afraid. Because you will have faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. Faith in God. I just want to see if I still have that letter here. About 2 weeks ago, just after Japan's water, Aldo wrote a little letter on the web. I'm not sure who of you saw that letter, but where he said, why are you all so afraid? It's not him speaking, it was God speaking, saying, why are my children so afraid? If your house is built on the rock, why are you afraid? And where are your treasures? Are your treasures on earth or in heaven? So why are you afraid of water? What are we afraid of? You can only be afraid if you're not in the arms of Jesus. People come up to me, and when I pray sometimes, they say, a man said the other day to me, can you pray? Just before I want to pray, can you pray that God will show you my life? I said, sir, I'm not a fortune teller. You got the wrong place. I said, God will never give you the blueprint of your life. Because that's not faith. Why would you need to walk a walk of faith if God needs to tell you what's going to happen, everything in your life? And if people get worried, you won't believe people get worried for our sake. So what are you going to do tomorrow, and what's going to happen with his life? And I said, why are you worried? We just take one day at a time. You don't need to worry about me. You've got enough I can see of your own. And you carry it. So don't carry mine. Mine is with Jesus. And all I need to do is trust and obey. And when I say obey, I mean God is going to ask you every day of your life to do something for him. It can be this big or it can be this small. I'm doing weekend seminars in my country, and I did a weekend seminar on the Friday night I started. And as we started there, they gave each and the seminar people a wooden heart. You know, a heart, but it's from wood. So I look at mine and I thought, that's nice. Holy Spirit says to me, I know it's beautiful, but it's not for you. It's for your mom. He says, I want you to go Monday and give that heart for your mom. Give it to your mom on Monday. I thought, okay, I hear the voice. I put it in my suitcase. I'll do that. So Monday's normally the only day that I'm in office, but that Monday, everybody just pitch and they want to see me and, you know, people, and they speak longer than they're supposed to, and the day's over. So Tuesday, off I am. Went to do something. Wednesday, by Thursday, I said, Holy Spirit, why don't I hear you so well? What's going on? I think you must speak up. What's wrong? Why don't I hear your voice so well, Jesus? What's going on? I said, Lord, if I did something wrong, please show me. He says, didn't I tell you last Friday to give that little heart to your mom? I thought, that's not so big deal. The Lord says it is to me. If I ask you, I ask you to do it. You need to obey my voice. So I repented. I phoned my mom. I said, can we have tea, please? As I got to her, it was already Friday. She says, you know what, Rieta? She cried. I said, why are you crying? She says, Monday I had a very bad day. She says, I gave you to the Lord. I gave you to the Lord. She says, but I missed you so much. Many times I miss you so much. It feels like I've lost my heart. She says, I just want to hold you a little bit. God knew that. God knew that. He just asked me to give a heart to her and to tell her I love her, but I didn't obey. God said to me, Rieta, I'm not only asking you to move mountains. I will ask you this to this. Same in my eyes. Same in my eyes. You need to obey my voice step by step. Maybe you are sitting here tonight and you say, well, I can't hear God's voice any longer. Maybe you need to go back and see when last did you obey. Because there will be every day of your life something that God wants you to go and do. Just like the enemy every day try to give you fear. And you need to resist it. There's somebody sitting in this wall tonight, and you are covered with a cloud of fear. In the name of Jesus, I just break the power of fear. In Jesus' name. You can't just say, it's off me. You need to repent. If it's you, you need to repent right now. Jesus, forgive me that I opened the door for fear. With forgiveness, the blood can come. It's off me. Always forgiveness. And as the door closes, Lord Jesus, fill me up with your Spirit again. Just fill me up with your Spirit again. I want to be moved by you. I want to listen to your voice and not mine. It's in you we trust. Can I ask the piano man? Who's the piano man? Piano girl? Abram, at one stage, Abram left the presence and the proper standing on which God wants him to have fellowship with him. He left that place. When he left that proper place of fellowshipping with God, Abram once again went back into the flesh, but he had to repent of his failure and move back. It's not just I move back and go into position. Abram repented and he moved back and the fellowship was open again. I just feel in my spirit there are some of you that are sitting here tonight and say, I don't have that proper fellowshipping. Repent. Ask God, where did I not obey your voice, Lord? Just close your eyes for a moment and as we go into the flesh, we behave like worldly people. We should never have any confidence in our flesh. But we should have our absolute confidence in God. Because the flesh is untrustworthy. But God, He's no man that He can lie. We need to put our trust in the Lord. This is the hour, Lord Jesus, where you say you need to worship me in spirit and truth. We can praise you from the soul, but only worship from the spirit. Lord, we want to bow down tonight into your presence. We want to get into this place of proper fellowshipping with you. We can't afford to move one second out of it. Jesus, won't you put your glory light on us right now? Won't you put your glory light on? Some of us came in the flesh and you will see the result of flesh. There will be worry in your life. That is the result of flesh. There is a God, El Olaham, the Almighty One. And He's the one that wants to touch us tonight. He's the one who is your provider. Just like Abram said to his son, son, Jehovah will provide. I want to declare over you tonight, Jehovah God will provide. Because He is no man that He can lie. Jehovah God, He will provide. There was a time in Abram's life where he did many bad things. But still, after all these things, the Word of God speaks about it in Genesis 15. And this is the word that I want to declare over you tonight. He says, after all these things, the Word of Jehovah still came to Abram. Doesn't matter what happened in your life. Doesn't matter where you have turned. After all these things, the Word of Jehovah still came to Abram. In a vision saying, Lord Jesus, open our spiritual vision now. Open our spiritual senses now, just as you did with Abram. After all these things, the word of Jehovah came to us tonight in a vision, in word, saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. This word is ours tonight. After all these things, the word of Jehovah still came to us. In a vision, in a word saying, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. If there's any one that have not accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior yet, I want to pray for you if you could lift up your hands. Okay. If there are anyone here tonight, please just hear what I say. If there's anyone that is sick tonight and trusting God for healing, if you want to come to the front, we can pray for you. Not everyone, just the sick. I prayed and the Lord said to me this afternoon, those who are sick. If there's anyone that trusts God for healing, thank you. He did show me two people. You can just close your eyes. I want to finish off with this. He says, you are my bride. You are my beloved. I have chosen you and appointed you for such a time like this. I want you all to be ready. It's my anointing and my hand over you. It's you in me that protects you. No man can protect you. It's me. Have I not equipped you and trained you in my secret place, the place of my presence? The world and man cannot see here in the secret place. Many of you have not entered into the secret place. And this is the place of intimate, passionate relationship with the King of Kings. One to another. Intimacy is passion. When last did you tell the King how much you love him? When last did you wash his feet with your tears and wiped it with your hair? This is the place where you share your heart, where he speaks to you, and this is the place here where he wants to reveal his heart to you. My child, this is the hour where I want to tell you, don't run to man. Don't put your eyes on man, but put your eyes on God. This is the hour like never before. Don't put your eyes on man, but put your eyes on me. How I desire my bride to be secure in my love. How I long her to know my power, my hidden power that is in my hand. She has not realized this power yet. When I spoke and I said it's finished, I have purpose for her to live in this power. Yes, sir, this is you too. The bride is you too. The bride is us. Like the first believers, they understood the passion of the love. And that's why they moved into this power, in this power. They knew me because they have walked with me. Just like Enoch walked with God, I want you to walk with me. Don't force God to walk with you. You need to walk with him. I want you to be sold out for my purpose. You need to understand that miracles are part of me, are part of who I am. You need to understand that you can bring kingdom down to earth right there where you are. In your room, in your home. If you would just allow me to display my glory through you. I want you to be transparent so my glory can be shown through you. For surely this is what I have ordained throughout ages. That my bride will be spotless, without spot or blemish. That she will be a glorious bride. Religion will have no power over my bride. She will not run after the world and the pleasures of riches. She will only walk in the liberty and freedom of my spirit. And she will worship me in spirit and truth. She moves in the unseen realm of faith, not the realm of the flesh. She calls the things which are not as if they are, because she sees what has come. She knows the hour. She could see that the fig tree is blossoming. She's passionate about my word. She upholds and judges all the things according to my word. My bride have nothing to do with self. She knows I am her assurance. I am the pillar of your strength, and I am the fire within you. For my fire abides within you. My bride loves me, and I love my bride. She asked me, and I answer her, because she asked according to my will. My Ruach HaKodesh is within her, and she accepts the treasures, the way of my spirit. She beholds my beauty. She sees my glory, for her desires is towards me, and mine towards her. She don't run after the flesh and the things of the world, but she runs after me. Just like the Shunammite woman is running after her beloved. But she didn't find her in the shopping centers. She found her beloved on her knees. She's a peculiar people. She's a set apart people. She lives and feeds of the riches of my being. I desire to open up more and to release more treasures of the kingdom of heaven in you tonight. My bride has my heart, and my heart beats a rhythm in yours. My bride, rest in my presence and see what I'm doing. My bride, believe that I take care of all the needs. My bride knows that I'm the one who heals. My bride knows that I am what she needs. My bride knows who I am, and I know my bride. My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Lord Jesus, we surrender tonight. Lord Jesus, we surrender. And Lord, we repent. Where our lives has been a lot about self. And that we couldn't understand why our lives is not taking form. And many a time it is because the walls of our cities are still broken. Won't you please put your glory light on, that we can see what's going on in our lives. That we can see the disasters of the walls. But Father, thank you. The book of Nehemiah, you said even the stones that are burned, even those stones, you can repair and you can use them again. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, Messiah. Thank you. Thank you that you come and restore your bride for an hour like this. Lord, I pray right now that you will touch our spiritual senses, that you will touch our ears, that you will make us more sensitive for the spirit realm. Many a time people sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. But what we need is more sensitivity for your spirit. This is what I pray right now, Lord, that you will touch our senses. Lord Jesus, won't you tune our ears? You said to me, my bride's ears needs to be fine-tuned. Won't you come tonight and tune our ears, Lord Jesus? So that we can hear your voice clearly. So that we can dance on that melody of trust and obey. Trust and obey. Psalm 37:5 says, I surrender my ways to Jehovah. I trust in Him and He will act. I surrender my ways to Jehovah. I trust in Him and He will act. You are waiting for the Lord for a promise. Don't ever love the promise more than you love God. I see many of you are running after the promise instead of running after God. God is no man that He can lie. But He first seeks you. And all the rest will follow. Always first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There are some of you that trust in God for a miracle. There's one thing that I've learned. Alder was blind and he couldn't see. And one night Jesus walked into his room and touched his eyes. But still he couldn't see. But he wrote a little letter, Mom. Jesus says, His time, not yours. Maybe God already touched you. Because with that touch, He gave you the promise. But it will come to pass. You just need to keep on trusting. If you need to trust, trust in God. Trust in God, not in man. You can go into your room and you can experience God. Lord Jesus, we want more of You. More of You and less of us. More of You and less of us. We worship You. We exalt Your holy name. And we glorify You. Help us through Your Spirit to be a glorious bride. Help us in this preparing time, Lord, that we will be ready, that we will have enough oil for the day of Your coming, which is so soon. We love You, Abba Father. We love You, Jesus, our Messiah. And we love You, Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Holy is the Lamb of God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Father, I just want to bless these people that came so far and all the way to receive this word tonight. And all that You said to me this afternoon is, Rieta, whatever You say needs to be out of my spirit. And it will be one word. Put your eyes on God. Like never before. Put your eyes on God. Because He will take you step by step. He will show you and He will guide you. And for the hour that is coming, you need Him. You need Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with Your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord Jesus. Just pour out a fresh anointing over all of us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just pour out a fresh anointing, Lord Jesus. We need new fresh oil. A fresh anointing, Lord. A fresh anointing from Your throne. In Jesus' name. Lord, I bless these people. I bless them with more of You. With Your fullness. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. It's for me a privilege that my family could be here tonight and with us. And God is still busy healing Aldo day by day, step by step. Last year, as I said, he was very sick, very much all the time in hospital. This year, he's healthy. And I praise God for it. But still, he takes a little bit strain with the long days. So I couldn't pray preach too long because I know I could see he's taking a little bit of strain. But God said to me, He will uphold him. And He did. I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank you for your prayers for us as a family. I want to thank you that you walk the walk of faith with me. Because many of you that is one with us in spirit is also walking a walk of faith. And if my life and our life can just be a testimony for you to keep on. In my eyes and Tina's eyes, there is no doubt what God is doing the last couple of months in our lives. I tell you, it gives me such a new boldness. I just quickly want to share this with you. My dad died about two and a half weeks ago. My mom prayed for my dad for 50 years. For 50 years. He was a very, very hard man. But the Lord taught us, well, for her, most of all, how to intercede. Just like God called Abram to intercede for Lot, my mom intercede for my dad. 2 months before his death, 2 months, he came in. When he came in, his spirit turned into the most beautiful, beautiful, gentle spirit. You know, elderly people, many a time we think when they're getting older, they don't look as beautiful anymore. That's not true. You should see my dad before he died. He was so beautiful. He had gray hair. He had the most beautiful smile. He was so soft, you couldn't stop touching him. He was transparent, totally transparent. God gave me such a heart for elderly people after my dad. And there God said to me, don't ever stop interceding. Don't ever stop interceding for your parents. The 2nd of January 2010, the Lord showed me hell. I still don't speak about it because it's something I actually can't speak about it. All I know is I don't even want my greatest enemy to go there. That's why there are still people that did very bad things to us as a family, but we still pray for them. Because if there's a human life, you don't want them to go to hell. And after that, only after that, I start praying for my dad. Only after that. It was a year that I prayed for my dad. I said, Lord, he can't go to hell. He just can't. He's my dad. July, I walked on the beach. I said, Lord, our third book is out, A Message of Hope. And it is all, not all about him, but it's about my dad and how he had racism. And it was a stronghold on us as well. The enemy had legal right. And I said, Lord, how am I going to publish this book? And my dad he's not in yet. What are we going to do, Lord? You better hurry up. You know that place? But God's time is perfect. Absolutely perfect. So before my father died, he went through deliverance. He went through baptism. Nobody spoke to him about it. In December last year, he just said to us, I have to tell you, I want to be baptized. Holy Spirit. Do you know Holy Spirit? He worked with him. So January, February, I had the privilege to know a gentle, gentle dad who loved the Lord. At the end, I couldn't stop touching him. I couldn't. He was just full of love. And more than ever, I got a boldness to pray for people. Because God is seeking people to intercede for people. But many of us don't have the heart to keep on praying. I had the privilege to bury my father. And it wasn't just a normal funeral. It was a celebration. Because it was wonderful to know that you know that you know your dad is with Jesus. It's amazing. And even my youngest brother said to me, he says, Rita, we cannot afford that the people we leave are not so sure, certain that we are with Jesus. And my mom, for 50 years, I know she's going to get a big crown. If you get to heaven, you'll see her. She's the one with a crown, big crown. You just say, oh, that's Rita's mom. Don't stop praying for your beloveds. Don't stop praying for them. I thank God every night. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me so much that you saved my dad. And God needs prayers. He needs prayers. He acts on prayers. God acts on prayers. If you don't have your promise yet, keep on praying. God acts on prayers. I want to thank you all for coming. Pastor James, thank you so much. We are on our way. I don't know where we are going. Kuching. We're going there. Wach. And then from there we're going Monday or Tuesday we're going home. And I want to thank you, sir, for inviting us here, and thank you for your hospitality and your love. And I really see the love of Christ in you. I see the truth in you, and I bless you as a man of God. Thank you.